me to continue with the study that we still have so that it wouldn't be broken up. So we'll continue there, and we'll start in Judges chapter 10, and I'll read verse 1, probably through 3. And after Abimelech, remember we talked about him last week, evil leader of the Israeli people. So after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dudu. Figured somebody would laugh at that. A man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years, and he died and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel for 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on ass coats, and they had 30 cities, which they called Havilah-Jair till this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Kamon. Now, when you have these kings, or judges really, that led the people, and they led the people during quiet times, the Bible usually says less about them. And that's a good thing. Sometimes it's good for the Bible to say less about you, okay, back in these days. Now, it's not that necessarily they were the best kings, but our judges, but what happened here was God gave Israel peace. After Abimelech, the leadership was less evil. Okay, these two guys, and I think if you put them together, it was 45 years, Israel pretty much had peace. Now, the bad thing is, you go back to Abimelech, he was evil. Okay, and this time, these two guys seem like they had relative stability in Israel. Now, here's the thing, and just one point I want to make. When you look at leadership, even in a church, it is rare that a church exceeds what its leadership does. Okay, and I'm talking about a pastor. I'm talking about the church as a whole. Right now, there's a leadership crisis in the church. And when I say a leadership crisis, I mean some men that are committed totally to the Lord, no matter what. Come high water and that other thing, okay, because the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against us. All right, and we need some men right now that would stand up and actually believe that. As I look around here, I see more women than men. Okay, and God usually used a man. Now, he used women. I'm not saying he didn't, but when he's talking about leadership, God wants the men of the church to actually stand up and do what they're supposed to do. They want them to be the leaders at the house spiritually, okay? They want them to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and sometimes that means sacrifice, gentlemen. And in these days and times, we got too many people that aren't willing to pay the sacrifice, either at church or at home, and it is killing us. It's killing the churches. It's killing our streets. It's killing our nation. It's killing our world. Okay? We're too selfish, gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you, when you look around at the men, the church usually never exceeds the men. Now, individuals can. Okay? Individuals can. I've seen individuals sit in churches where the pastor was doing things he shouldn't be doing. Okay? But they're still in the, and that goes to show this. Your relationship with Jesus Christ needs to be personal. Okay, it needs to be personal. You don't need to be going through, as great a preacher as Brother Danny is, as much as we like to hear him preach, look, if he, God forbid, drop dead tomorrow, that should not kill your relationship with Jesus Christ. It should not stop you from attending church. Okay, you should, we'll mourn him, but we've got to roll on because we've still got a goal here on this planet to get more people to Christ. Okay, and we will, you know, it would hurt. We'd hate to see that happen, but your relationship doesn't need to go through Brother Danny. Your relationship needs to be directly tied to Jesus Christ at all times. Look, men will fail. Men will pass away. But the Word of God stays the same forever. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. You can count on him. Okay? He's the rock, and the rock's not going anywhere. So get your feet settled on the rock, and it won't matter. It won't matter where you are. You can trust in him. Okay? Because he's trustworthy. And it doesn't matter whether times are good or bad, happy or sad. That seemed like a song. But good or bad, happy or sad, you can, oh yeah, I know what song it is now. You can stay grounded in the Lord and everything's going to be okay eventually. Unfortunately, Israel is like us. And let's look at verse 6. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Sidon, and the gods of Moab. They so quickly left the God that brought them up out of Egypt. Matter of fact, by the time they were fully out of Egypt, they were already looking back at the leeks and the garlic, forgetting that they were slaves back there. All right? And the whole time, and Brother Danny has pretty much said it every week he's been up here talking about Judges, they would do right or they would do wrong. They would get right. They would do wrong. They would get right. They would do wrong. Are you seeing your life here? Is there anybody else that gets stuck sometime in that sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess cycle? Am I the only one? Maybe I just need to hit the altar right now because I'm the only one. Anybody else? You feel like you sometimes stumble at the same places every day. And you don't want to stumble there, but it gets you every day. And the bad thing is, you're in bondage. Okay? When that happens, and the children of Israel were in bondage, and I want to make one observation here. The very gods they thought were their deliverance from the restraints that the real God put on them ended up being the very gods that were their slave masters. If you read down a verse later, God used the very same people that they went and tried to friend up with to be the people that oppressed them. We can learn something from that, and here it is. The sin that you think is your friend today will have you enslaved tomorrow. If you are hanging out with people who aren't godly people, and you're having fun right now, tomorrow it's not going to be fun. All right? You will not stand with this world. The Bible says to be friends with the world is to be enemies of God. So you got to make up your mind where you're going to stand right now. Right now. Don't spend another day trying to friend up with this world. Okay? And I'm going to tell you this. You want me to get a little more specific? Sometimes what you look at on your computer is going to be your enslavement in a few weeks. The drugs that you take to have a good time at that party, they're going to enslave you in a few weeks. Okay? That relationship you know is not right in the sight of God is going to be your enslavement in a few weeks. Okay? And it's just the way it happens. Sin is all nice and candy-like on the front side, but it offers no nutritional value for your soul. And you will skinny up and wither up and die. And I'm going to tell you what else it'll do to make you start doubting that God's truth and God's real. The more you friend up with this world, the more that Satan's going to be able to put in your mind doubts if God's really going to take care of you, if he's really real, am I really saved? And the longer you stay out there, the deeper your doubts will get. Look, I know people that came to church for a long time. Long time. And I've seen them out on the street a while later, and they don't even look like themselves. They don't even look like themselves. Some of them look 20 and 30 years older. It just breaks my heart because I know there's a better way. And it's not that any of us take the way perfectly. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that sin, your sin will find you out. Okay? And sin, it's just like when you get saved and you go right back doing the same sins, you're putting the chains right back on you. Jesus said the truth made you free. Live free. All right? Paul said he wouldn't be under bondage of any. So why do we so easily go back to the things we've been set free? It got so bad, they got desperate. Okay? So if you read on down there, it got so bad, they got desperate. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're sitting in there, you're desperate tonight, you can do exactly what they did. They had the right response. Okay? Remember I was talking about that sin-confess cycle? The reason it continues to be a cycle is because we leave off the next step. Let's see what Israel did. Verse 10, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because, and they confessed. They mouthed up to it, and they said, we've done it, it was wrong, because we have forsaken our God and have also served Baal. Usually the Lord is quick to forgive. He gives them a little trouble this time. Y'all ever had maybe you had your spouse and you didn't listen to them? So when you had to go back and say they're sorry, they gave you a little jab. Okay, if that ever happened to you, or maybe it was your son or daughter and you didn't listen, they gave you a little jab. This is what the Lord's doing, basically. He says, look, why are you coming to me now? All right? And he tells him, he says, look, Why don't you go to those other gods that you thought would deliver you? Go on over there and talk to them. Can they not deliver you? Whew. That's rough. The Lord even says, look, I'm not going to deliver you anymore. Why are you coming to me in your time of tribulation? When times were good, you didn't know my name. And now times are hard, all of a sudden you want some favors from me. Oh boy, that's us. That's us in a nutshell. I'm telling you what, real quick we can start praying when things get rough. You let the doctor say something that scares you a little bit. See how much you can pray. You let your kids get sick. See how much you can pray. But oh, why that money is in the bank. Oh, why the health is going well. We tend to like the golf on the Sundays. Okay? And you see a lot of people, man, they come right in here. You can tell they're having tough times of the look they have when they walk through that door. And you can tell they come up here and get some help. And you only see them one more service. And I wonder sometimes. I wonder, are we taking the grace of God for granted? That it's just going to be there every time? Because God does have a limit. He reached limits with people back here in the Old Testament, and he does have a limit. Now, that's way out there because his mercies are infinite. Okay? But he's not going to put up with sin forever. And you're not going to, if you're a Christian, you're not going to get away with it forever. God's got a whooping for you. As Brother Danny said, he'll take the switch and go, stripe those legs if you want him to. And God is the best leg striper you'll ever know. I'll tell you that right now. So the children of Israel, they got real serious, though. Not only did they confess, then they repented. And this is sometimes the steps that we like to leave off, because repenting is where it really hurts. And repenting, all it means is, okay, I've got this sin over here, and I really, really like this sin. But God says it's wrong, so I'm going to turn and walk away from it. I'm leaving it behind. I'm forsaking it. Just like I forsook God to go over there, I'm now forsaking it. And you know what? I don't have any plans on going back. And sometimes we repent, but in our minds, we've got plans to go back. I was being plain earlier, so I'll be plain again. Your toothbrush is still at that person's house. Okay? That's a plan to go back. You're in here saying you're sorry, but your stuff's still over there. Go get it and take it to your house. The stuff is still on your computer. Go drop kick it. And if you got to just not have a computer, don't have one. Okay? That's repenting. That's showing God you're serious. And that's what these people did. They got rid of their gods. They said, Lord, whatever we got to do, just deliver us. Okay? And they said, Lord, do whatever's good to you, do it to us. But please just deliver us, Lord. The Lord didn't give an immediate answer, from what I can tell. You know what the people did? They kept on serving him. They kept on serving him. That's right, Ezzie. They kept on serving. When you don't get the answers that you think you should be getting, you keep on serving God. All right? You got to make up your mind, because sometimes God will test your faith a little bit, okay, and he'll be quiet for a little while. And you won't get the responses as quickly as you're used to. First thing you got to do if you're in that situation is get rid of all sin. But once you've done that, you're going to keep on walking with God. Okay? You're going to have faith that God, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's got to be great comfort to us Christians. Never leave you or forsake you. So here they are serving God. You know what they did? They got together. Now, until this point, the children of Israel evidently had not been together. Okay? But the children of Israel got together as one man, and they were like, what should we do? What should we do? And then somebody evidently remembered a name, and we're getting into verse or chapter 11. Remembered a guy named Jephthah, who was a mighty man of valor. The only problem with this guy was this. Just like they had done God, they had driven this guy out from their land. Why? And we're in chapter 11 now, if you'll just let me tell the story. He was the son of a prostitute. The Bible says a harlot. Okay? So a man went out to a harlot and had a son by him. But he also had a wives, and he had sons by this other wife, by his wife. And the sons that were of his wife told their half-brother, you're not going to inherit with us. Boy, there's a lot of family strife, isn't it? When it comes down to money, there can be a lot of strife. Okay, so the money, I think they saw daddy getting a little old. Dad was Gilead. They saw him getting a little old, and they were like, look, if we don't get this guy out of here, he's going to be wanting to split this. And they drove him out of the land. Okay, and there were supposed to be some elders there that might have stood up and said, no, that this isn't right. You can't drive him out. But that, nobody said anything, and his brothers drove him out of the land. The Bible says that he went down there and vain men came to him. So he's down there with these no-count guys. Israel, but he's a mighty man of valor, by the way. He's a war man. He's a man of war, okay? And he can fight. They're over here in distress, and they know he can fight. But just like God, they've driven him away. So they got to make one more humble down. They got to humble down again. Look, if we would get humble, God would answer us. Okay, if we would actually get down, and it's hard for us to do in America because we have so much here, okay? And we walk around with our heads in the sky a lot of times in America. I'm sorry, we just do. We just do. And we go to other places sometimes. You would be amazed on these cruise ships that we go on sometimes how people act in other countries. I said, look, man, if the people down here in Mexico wanted to put you in jail and make you pay $10,000 to come out, they could. You might be an American, but you're in Mexico now. Okay? You better act like you have some sense. Okay? And don't complain about everything. No, they don't have as much money down there as we got here. You came down here, so don't complain about it, is what I'm saying. But anyway, they had to humble themselves. And that can be very hard. But a true person that's repentant has no trouble humbling themselves. You will know that repentance is fake if the person's not humble, if they're still trying to bring other ways to please God into it. All right, the children of Israel said, we'll do whatever, and that included going down to this guy that they had thrown out. And they said, look, we'll go down there and we'll ask him if he'll come back and fight for us. Because the children of Ammon had come and attacked them, and they needed somebody to fight for them. So they go down there and ask him, and it's funny. Jephthah says the same thing to him that God said to him pretty much. Why are you coming to me in your distress? You threw me out from my dad's house. You threw me out. You don't like me. Why are you coming to me now? They said, look, we need somebody to fight for us. We're a bunch of wimps. These guys down here are pretty tough. We haven't been able to do anything. We need you. He said, look, if you want me, if God delivers them into my hand, I'm going to have to be your master. And they were like, whatever you say. You can reign over us if you go down here. Now, the story takes an awful turn here. Because Jephthah gets up and he gathers the people and he goes. And he goes out to fight. And right before he gets to the battle, he makes a vow. An unbelievable vow. And I personally think that he makes this vow for two reasons. Number one, he had been with vain men. His thinking was still off. And number two, when Israel repented, he hadn't. All right? He hadn't repented because he wasn't with Israel. So when Israel came and asked him to fight, he's still kind of like, I don't know if the Lord will go with me into this battle or not. I've been out here with vain people. Didn't I say before that sin will make you doubt? Yes, it will. It'll make you doubt. So here he is going into the battle, and he stops and makes a vow. He said, Lord, if you will deliver these people into my hands, when I get back home, whatever comes through the door, I'm going to burn as a burnt offering to you. What a crazy vow. Don't your family members live at home? Why would you vow just something so crazy? Whatever walks through the door, I'm going to burn it as a burnt offering for you, Lord. Whatever walks through the door first. Well, the Lord delivered the people into his hands. And Ammon had to flee before Jephthah. And when he got back with the victory, guess who the first person was through the door? It was his daughter. And the Bible makes it clear that he had no other kids. It was his only child walks through the door. She's dancing. Daddy just came back with the victory. Daddy's home. She's dancing. He's crying. He now knows what he has to do. Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to make a vow to the Lord, you need to spend some time thinking about two things. Am I really willing to do it? And how is it really going to affect everybody else? Okay, you need to spend some time. Can I do it? Because if you make a vow to the Lord, you need to keep it. Anything you've come up here and said, Lord, I'll do this for you if you get me out of this situation and anything like that, you need to be dead serious on keeping that thing. Matter of fact, when you got saved, you basically said, Lord, I'll make you the Lord of my life. You need to be dead serious about that. And when sin comes up and you know the Lord says no, then you're going to turn it down. Because you said, Lord, you are my Lord. You are my ruler. What I will do what you said. Would most of us back out of this vow? You got to kill your only daughter. Would most of us back out of this? We'd be trying to find some wiggle room, wouldn't we? Jeff looks at his daughter and says, you've bought me very low. I vowed a vow to the Lord and I cannot. He said, I cannot go back. You would think that the daughter would get up and run. I've got to be burned. What does she do? Whatever you said, Lord, or whatever you said, Dad, do it to me. Can you believe that? Look, she had as much faith as he did, evidently. Because I don't know about being a burnt sacrifice. I'm not feeling that, okay? They're going to burn you at the stake. Okay, and if they go through the way it's supposed to go through, they got to cut you in pieces before they do it. That's not a pleasant afternoon. She pleads with her dad. She says, look, give me one thing. Give me 2 months. I'm going to go to the mountains. I'm going to bewail my virginity. Then I'll come back and you can do your vow. I think the dad, when he said yes, was hoping she never came back. Okay, and you can say, Lord, I tried, but I don't know where she is now. I would do it if she was here. She goes up into the mountains, okay, and it's kind of weird, that wording, but to the best of my study, what I found out that means that she was just going up there to mourn that she would never have a husband, because the Bible later says she never knew a man, and she went up there with her friends, the ones that would have come to her wedding, okay, if she got married, the ones that were, you know, grew up with her, and she went up there and she mourned. Because right now, her dreams are over. It'd be just like getting a terminal illness diagnosis. And they're looking at you and say, you got 6 months at most. That's pretty much what happened to her, except she only had 60 days. Guess what? At the end of 60 days, what did she do? She bought a ticket to Tahiti. No, she didn't. She turned around and came back. And the Bible says that he did his vow. Now, a lot of people don't believe that the Bible actually meant that, and they think this is symbolic, but I'm going to tell you what. I think it actually means what it says, and that he actually carried it out. Before I finish, though, I want to make this point. This should remind you of somebody else. See, because the Lord left little clues all the way through this Old Testament about what he was going to do for us. This was his only child who died so that somebody else could have the victory and was offered up as a burnt offering for atonement. Did anybody else do that for you? God did that for you, right? He took his only son. Okay, now when it was Isaac, he stopped him. Okay, Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac. God stopped him and said, look, I'll provide the lamb. Now, right there was a ram, but I don't think God was talking about that. He was talking about something farther. Okay, and in this instance, God did not stop this. And when Jesus died for your sins, God didn't stop it either. And that was his only son. His only begotten son. And he let the sword fall on him anyway. He let the people beat him anyway. And guess what? Jesus went willingly, just like she did. Went willingly. I lay my life down. I've got the power to pick it back up again. I see him putting his hands up there to give us the mercy and the grace that we take so lightly. There was a time when just the mention of that story would make every tear in the church tear up. But right now, you can say it, and sometimes people don't even look up from their phones. We've come a long way. We need to get back to where this sacrifice is all-consuming of us, that we think about it the first thing we wake up in the morning and the last thing on our mind when we go to sleep. If we ever get back there, we'll start living right. If we ever get back there, the Lord will do some things for us. But we got too many other gods ahead of him, too many other things that we put up there as number one, ourselves most of the time. And I'm going to tell you, we need to get our priorities straight. You know how we're going to do it? And I'm talking to myself now. We need some fasting. We need some prayer. And we need to realize how serious God is about sin. He's not up there in the sky playing. Okay? He's not a faraway God. He said he's here. He said he's watching. And he's not playing. Why are we playing? That is the question. He said, I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I am going to make sure that I give everybody the just rewards for what they've done. Either we believe that or we don't. Or we just don't like rewards. I mean, do you not like rewards? And the Bible says that we're going to have these rewards forever and ever and ever. But yet, these worldly things we let in front of it. Where are you at tonight, personally, with Jesus Christ? Have you said yes to him as your savior? Or are you still on the way to hell? And if you said yes, are you living like you've said yes? Is he really the Lord of your life? When you look back here in these judges stories in chapter 11, 10, and on through, what you're to get out of this is this. That people back here were stiff-necked and they didn't want God to reign over them. Are you going to be like that? Are you going to be like that? Are you going to submit like this young lady did to the will of her father? God is your father, and you need to submit to him. Submit. Lord, whatever, not my will, thine be done. It's what Jesus said. We're Christians, so we're supposed to be Christ-like. Not my will, but yours be done. I'm finished. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to get more serious about our walk with the Lord. And I guess if Miss Desi will come, I'll give an invitation. There may be somebody here that wants to pray. If you've not been saved before, come up here, and we will let you know the plan of salvation, what you must do to not go to that hell.